As many of you in this church here in Naples know, taking up a new way of life can be a challenge greater than ever imagined. I discovered this when I first stepped into the seminary. I left behind my own private room at home, and that night I was sleeping in a dormitory with 30 other 20-year-olds. It was noisy, and it didn't smell like home. In fact, had my mother been there, she'd have gotten out her bleach bottle and gone after us all. And instead of a nice closet for all of my things neatly arranged, everything I brought had to be crammed into a locker about the size of this ambo. Then suddenly, 8 years later, I'm a priest. And while there was 8 years of formation preparing me for that day, let me tell you, it wasn't enough. Then came retirement, right? Some of you know this, huh? The biggest change of all, as far as I'm concerned. Old ways of thinking, old ways of acting had to go. It does not matter if a person is a recovering alcoholic or a newlywed. Beginners everywhere learn quickly how many of their behaviors spring out of old habits. After a lifetime, these habits and these patterns are difficult to change, let alone eradicate. So there they are, that group of disciples. They are facing the biggest challenge and the change of their lives. It was bigger than walking away from fishing boats or tax collection tables. And after all the preparation and conversations with their master, they were not quite ready. And the change was slow and erratic. It would even seem from the scriptures that they tried to go backwards and return to their fishing boats for a time. He had to go find them there. And among them, Thomas is singled out as an example. He's so much like the rest of us who live in a world of seeing is believing. He's so much like the whole world that relies upon the predictable and is always skeptical in the face of good news. We always think that's just too good to be true. But boy, we jump on bad news right now. There are habits of thought revealed here that have to go for people who believe in the resurrection. Those disciples in that room, and Thomas as well, they'd been living in a very measured world that was predictable and secure. There were very few surprises, and if there were, they weren't good ones. There was very little to expect a good surprise. So their leaders, among them, always enforced the status quo because they found their security in doing so. Then Jesus of Nazareth walks into this scene, and suddenly he's touching the sick and considered unclean. He treats women with respect, even to the point of sharing a drink with a Samaritan woman. He surprises them by feeding multitudes with what seemed to be insufficient resources. And he calms the wind and the sea with a wave of his hand and a word. Then his death, which they wanted to avoid and deny, left them helpless and hopeless. They saw him dead, and they believed he was. Seeing is believing. What they believed rested only on what they saw. Now, that cannot be so for those who live in resurrection times. Living in resurrection requires a complete transformation. John the Baptist and Jesus called for metanoia, which poorly translated means repentance. But let me tell you, it means way more than that. Metanoia means a change of mind. Thomas had a change of mind, and that's what we hear about today. A new way of thinking that gives no room for old habits and expectations is what it takes to live in resurrection times. That first reading today gives a superb example of this. The early Christians in Jerusalem shared a life that was starkly different from communities outside the church. In their prayer and their care for each other, they gave the world an example of radically changed thinking. The victory of Jesus was not just over death, but it was a victory over death's grip on the human mind. There is now, in the resurrection times, a new age of mercy. That Jesus returned a second time for the sake of one disciple is that shepherd who leaves 99 and goes after the one who is lost. That Jesus returned to gather up Thomas and extend mercy of the Father to one who was slow to believe and stubborn in his own ways reveals the mercy of the Father who sent his Son to find what was lost and bring him home. For all of them, it was a surprise. And it broke their old ways of thinking that dead meant dead forever. Those who live in resurrection times are people who live for surprise. The constant surprise that all things are made new. New life requires committed belief that Christ's resurrection is a foreshadowing of our own. As this belief in our own resurrection grows in us, old habits rooted in a fear of death and loss start to lose their power. We can forgive and teach others to do so. We can experience peace even in the midst of conflict. We can find reasons for faith when all around us is despair. And we can become servants of Christ's mission, sharing his risen life with all we meet.